Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We've got Rusty in the house with us this morning.
The legend.
I'm. Can I ask why we got a speaker in the corner over here? Why we got?
It looks like it's always there.
That was in the back of my car, 1988, I think.
That's a doorstop.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a doorstop. There's a couple people that thought they needed to prop this door open and put fans in here, but they're also the people that we keep them at night.
I hear you.
Or in afternoons.
That's what I'm talking about. if we behave, we get water.
We get water.
I'm working on that.
Rusty and I were just rehashing some old memories. Because honestly, and this popped up because I'll give State credit. His daughter went to,
yep,
obviously Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Talking about the bar scene, and she was like, it's nothing like Athens.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Bama guy, your first reaction is, wait. And then, if I'm going to be honest, it ain't. It's not even close. Yeah. Like, it was probably 25%. So then we started talking about Kenny Chesney and the
Dude,
cake in the closet.
I got an all-time at Kenny Chesney. So
at
Kenny
the Jupiter Bar over there.
Kenny Chesney played in Atlanta maybe 2002-3 Georgia Dome. Last minute tickets. I go with a friend of mine and another buddy of mine, and we stay. I won't say the hotel because they were super nice, but a downtown, super nice hotel in downtown Atlanta. Valet in my truck Sunday night. We go out, have a great time. Get up the next morning, go downstairs, hand the guy my keys. He brings me a truck. And I said, hey, that one's not my truck. He goes. I said, it's a little different color. I said, I'm Georgia red there, dog. And he goes, okay.
What keys do you have, dude?
Well, so he goes, okay, no worries. So the guy goes down the street. He comes back and says, hey, what color did you say your truck was? I said, hey, man, it's red. And okay. Oh, we got it. It's at the overflow lot. I sit there another 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, no, dude.
He comes back and he doesn't talk to me.
Oh, no.
So I see the security guard look to the other guard and they go in the office.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, I lost my damn truck.
Oh.
They put it in the wrong parking lot. Never think anything else. Yeah, we go watch security cameras at 3 a.m. Dude jumps over the gate of the valet, the half door.
Yeah.
Pulls a set of keys off the valet thing. I watched the 10 minutes of tape. He goes through every single level of the parking deck until that light blinks. And you see my truck blink. And man rolls out.
Why your truck? Was there something special about those keys?
He just grabbed my keys off the rack. Hmm. You know? So I will say this. I'm not going to say the hotel because they were extremely nice. I go see a lawyer. The guy goes, look, the worst thing can happen to you is they find your truck 10 days later. And I go, okay, you know, whatever. We'll figure this thing out. I'm upset. It's a new truck. Yeah, they found it 11 days later. And I just beat to, you know what.
Oh,
the dude literally took my truck and was driving to the airport and stealing luggage off of the carousel back in the day. And I don't know what he did. He Dukes a Hazard my truck.
Wow.
That thing was beat to you know what.
Sheesh.
So they paid for everything. But, yeah, I got up one morning, and my truck was not there.
You have to get the new, you got a whole new truck, right?
I got a whole new deal.
We were talking earlier. You know,
that's my Kenny Chesney story.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you, last week, you know, we were talking earlier about big games and stuff and how you get up for them. So last week before Georgia-Alabama played, you had all day. I know you watched some college football. But that morning, you didn't watch college game day. I'm sure you put on a movie or a TV show.
I didn't watch Tombstone. That was kind of.
What's your go-to? Come on. What's your go-to, Rusty? You got to have a go-to. Rusty Manziel is a man of culture.
At my age, I tell you what I did. I took the trash off that morning.
There you go.
I took the stuff out of the garage, and I watched a little football. And it's a long day to wait on 7:30. Here's the thing. You guys know, both of y'all know, and Tiffany knows this. All three of y'all know this. At some point post-game, you have to be on. So I have to go YouTube live after the game. Are you talking about 11:30 at night? You got to have bright eyes because Georgia fans want answers, and they weren't in the best mood.
That'll be me tonight. That'll be me tonight. There's no doubt about it.
So, but, you know, that's a game, man. I went back and looked at some of the things. We can talk about, you know, I hadn't had a chance to talk to you guys about it. Here's a couple things that stood out to me. At 9:32 left in the game, Bama was 96.9% probable to win that game on the ESPN ranking. At 2 minutes and 31 seconds left, Georgia was 77% to win that game. Oh, by the way, the next play, they weren't favored to win that game because they bombed them the next play. But
flipped that fast.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah. It was definitely a classic, man. But what was your biggest takeaway, I guess, moving forward for Georgia after that game?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, I think, that happened in that game. But I think for the next 2 weeks, I don't want to put so much on this Georgia-Auburn game. They're favored to win this game, shouldn't win this game. I want to see if they take it from the second half and what they show offensively. Defensively, there's some things I really think it kind of concerns you. Tackling's the number one thing, but I think Bama went 7 of 8 of 9 possessions after the 28-0. I think they went 8 of 9 possessions where they stopped Bama. So you kind of built some momentum there, whatever happened. Don't even know what adjustments they've made. But you offensively, Georgia cannot start slow. They have started slow for a while, and I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't think that everything was Carson Beck's fault. He drops a dime into Arian Smith's breadbasket.
48 yards.
He drops it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They get off the field. Now Bama scores. Now it's 14-0. He audibles at the line. Arian Smith doesn't seem to hear it.
Yeah.
Neither did the other receiver, who I can't recall. So I don't want to blame all. Not all blame is on Arian Smith.
I think it was dealt, but he was supposed to be blocking maybe, if they check it right.
I thought Arian Smith played great in the second half, by the way. But Carson Beck does make some ill-advised throws. Even the safety, don't know what the hell Bobo's doing in that situation.
Yep.
Do you still – I do, but I want to know what the great Rusty Manziel. Do you still believe Carson Beck is the guy? Because I do, and if you do, tell me why you do or don't.
He has all the tools to be that guy. I mean, he's got an NFL arm. You see it when Mike was talking off the air. Some of those fourth down throws were contested. I mean, like, there's only one place you can put the ball, and you hit a guy in a face mask on fourth down twice with a Bama defender hanging all over him. So he shows you things like that.
You said he has all the tools.
He has all the tools.
That sounds like you're going to say a
but. But here's the thing. You're right there. He's won a lot of games, but his two biggest games he's played has been Alabama twice. And for whatever reason, he's 0-2 in those games. You want to see Carson Beck take a game over and everybody go, man, that dude right there, we had no answer. Because you can diagnose this game any way you want to. Georgia had no answer for Jalen Milroe. And you leave that game going, man, what is that guy going to look like in the NFL? Who's going to get that guy? Because his skill set is unique. And I'll say this, too, one more thing on Jalen Milroe. Ryan Williams is that dude. He deserves everything. But I don't think Jalen Milroe gets enough credit for how much of stress he puts on people.
Yeah.
He ran one time across the field, and I'm telling you right now, it's the first time in a long time. I texted one of my buddies, the first time in a long time that Georgia looked a step slow. Like, he was the fastest player on the field by far.
I want to ask you one more question about Carson Beck before we move on, because I had a Georgia fan ask me this question this past week, and they said at some point, you know, you got through back-to-back national titles with Saban at Bama in 11 and 12.
Yeah.
But at some point, Bama had to go to Blake Sims, Lane Kiffin, and start doing things different offensively.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do we think Georgia is approaching that point from people that you talk to?
I don't know that Georgia is as opposed to changing anything. It's who you have.
Personnel.
It's his personnel.
Yep.
Georgia, they brought in Jaden Rashada. Will he win the job? I don't know, but he's more of a dual threat guy.
Right.
Ryan Pugliese, the kid they beat Ohio State for, who's a freshman on campus right now, he has more athletic ability. I don't know that anybody has the arm that Carson Beck, because the people I talk to are like, man, you don't realize how live it is until you see it in person, how it gets out of his hands. I think you look at the head scratchers, the pick he threw, the check down, which was not his fault. But I think Carson Beck, you know, you look at Tennessee last year, that game, he carved Tennessee up. You know what I mean? He took Tennessee on the road and carved them up. Florida, he played great last year. Can he play great against Texas? Can he take the momentum and be there? I'm not really – I mean, he's a big-time quarterback. He's getting paid a lot of NIL money. I mean, there's no question. He made a decision to come back. Because I'm telling you right now, the way the quarterback draft went, had Carson Beck went, he'd have been a first-rounder.
Yeah, I agree.
They were out of quarterbacks.
I agree.
He would have been a first-rounder.
He would have been like – he would have been in Vegas.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
He would have been a first – people yeah. were like, we got to have quarterbacks. And the way that draft went, I was thinking that day, dang, man, Carson Beck would have been a first-rounder.
I agree.
So you know that he's got to come back and try to make that. They say this is not a great quarterback draft coming up. So he's got a chance to make some money. Got a lot of games front. I'll say this one thing. I texted a buddy yesterday. You realize this is the fifth game of Georgia? They could easily play 16 games. They could easily play 16 games, man.
Russ,
not even a third of the way through.
And I think the key to that is what Lane Kiffin did for you last week by whatever happened there and losing to Kentucky. I think Ole Miss is in trouble this week too.
Yeah.
At South Carolina.
Yeah.
This is a big game for Lane. And I've noticed that, like, listen, everybody loves Lane Kiffin. He is freaking hilarious on Twitter. He is as good as anybody I've ever seen. You got to lay off that stuff for a while, big dog. You got to win one of those big ones. You know what I mean? And this is a big game for them. Huge game.
Yeah.
I feel like before we let you go, Rusty, you probably should get that message to Bo.
Yeah.
On the Twitters.
Oh.
I tell you what, man. He gets after it, doesn't he? He gets
after I take
you
my
gotta want
off
the smoke,
boat.
Man.
I'm like, man, I don't know how every you find the
day.
Energy, but you find the energy, buddy.
Every day he wakes up like Braveheart.
He chooses,
face paint,
he
he's ready
violence.
To go. He wants it every day.
He watches Tombstone in the morning.
He wants it
and then he hits the Twitter.
Keep your shoes on Twitter for me.
Let me tell you something. I live by Cersei Lannister's words. I choose violence.
Oh, man.
And you know what? The shoes
keep
are now
shoes on
the
Twitter, man.
That was just when I had to
keep
stand
your shoes
in the dress
on.
Shoes.
We can't get dirty now.
Oh, hey. Good, man.
Rusty, thank you so much for joining us this
God.
Morning.
Rusty knows about Funyuns.
Oh, gosh. About your shoes? Okay. Yeah,
man.
All right. Chips.
Bucks. Okay. Thursday
man.
Night
we
football.
Got off.
We'll get you set.
Go Falcons. Next.
On the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We've got Thursday night football tonight for your Atlanta Falcons.
Rise
they will host
up.
The Buccaneers.
Falcons,
and what will
up.
Be his primetime debut, starting J.D. Bertrand in for Troy Andersen, who was not cleared to go this week. And again, it was a short week. He suffered an injury, a knee injury, in last week's game on Sunday Night Football. It feels like it was a blur. No, was it Monday night?
No, it was Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. Thank you.
It was 1 o'clock.
Place, right?
It was like the only game in the last three that hasn't like, been a night.
What is a night game? What is
that? Three of our first five have been primetime.
Oh, my goodness. So. All right. Well, clearly I was out of town this weekend.
I mean, you've all missed right. Primetime squid, Tiff.
Well, on that note, now let me just shift back to J.D. Bertrand, so who will be in primetime. And he talked about what it means for him to feel ready for this game.
I think for me, it's after once the game install has been in, going through previous games and matching our calls to different plays that they've done. And so that's kind of the biggest thing for me. Once I feel comfortable, hey, I can put any call to almost any play that they have shown on film, and I feel confident about that. Like, that's the biggest thing for me about feeling ready.
Well, first off, he's a Georgia State education in high school, so you know he's smart. And then secondly, you know, J.D. played at Notre Dame. He went to Notre Dame. That's not an easy school to get into, to play at, the academics. But you also know he's, you know, like, that's one of the things that Ross said. He's like, his preparation every week is pretty much like he's starting. I have no issues with that. It's just, it's every once in a while might know the calls and all that, but do you trust what you think you know, or do you kind of allow yourself to get caught up in the moment?
Well, and I think there's going to be ups and downs, right? And I think that's what's most – and by the way, as a guy who used to work with Georgia Public Education, I have to point out that he went to a private school in Blessed Trinity, so I just want to throw that out there.
Whatever. It's still in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, sure. That's
still
cool.
Meet the requirements.
Make yourself feel better. No, man, I think that there's going to be ups and downs, and I think that's the biggest point is, to me, it's not – you know, making sure you're identifying, which is a huge component, don't get me wrong, and doing all the right things. But I think that he can't allow himself to get caught up in the moment of there's a bad play, there's a good play. It has to be consistent, right? And we talked about that earlier. If he's getting hit in the mouth by the offensive lineman, you can't say, well, I'm going to fly downhill faster and all that other stuff, or I'm going to shed to this side because last time I got juked or whatever it may be. Just every play has to be its own, right? When you're J.D. Bertrand, you're a rookie, I think that's one of the toughest things to do is every play has to be its own, has to have a life of its own when you're playing the linebacker position. That's going to be tough for him tonight.
Especially when you're facing a team that has the likes of Baker Mayfield, who we've talked about will be a challenge for this group to try to get a handle on.
Yeah, Baker has done a really good job getting the ball in his hands quickly. I think they've obviously built that in the offense. With the new OC, that was it Cohen, right?
Liam Cohen.
Yeah, that is. I could have just looked at my chart, but it's easier to ask you.
I got it. Tom Moore is an offensive assistant. This is his 46th year in the NFL. I just saw that on the sheet, like you're talking about. I'm still dumbfounded by that. That is unbelievable.
If his years of seniority would be older than any person on this show, and by 5 years, yeah, easily.
And not only that, that's just in the NFL. Like, it's 46 years in the NFL. He was the Georgia Tech running back coach in 1970, dude. The guy has seen more football than he's forgotten more football than any of us have seen.
I know we don't have done keys, and I know you got
I want to get to Kirk Cousins, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know you got Kirk. To me, is there any way you can limit the damage as a defense on first down? And I ask that knowing that this is a defense that has played cover three primarily, I say primarily a lot more than anything else, and they've done it with having their corners play off and their DBs play off. And what that does is that allows these 5 to 7 yard completions, and I don't consider that a chunk, but in reality it is a chunk because basically – when you're limiting second and third and short, you're converting those a lot.
No, I agree with you. And look, I think the thing is that you look at this team, and obviously they're extremely successful offensively. Don't get caught up in what Tampa was last year in the run game. They were abysmal last year running the football and still were able to knock off the Falcons when they came to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is our team is actually decent against the run as far as yards per carry go. I think they're averaging 4.1 yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look back at it. I know you have in front of it. They're not great running the ball, but they do a great job of setting up some of the short passes to create the explosive plays, but their yard per carry is not great. And I think with Gadecki out at right tackle tonight, you have to find a way to expose that. Now, Tristan Wirfs is your left tackle. He is if not the best left tackle in football, then he's right behind Trent Williams. He's a Hall of Fame level left tackle. But you have to find a way to kind of attack him if they start utilizing him in the run game. But I think you're going to have success on the right side of their offensive line with Cody Mauch in year two out of North Dakota State. I think that's a thing that's kind of working in your favor. But it's all about timing. It's going to be all about situations. And do they even attempt to run the ball on first down, given the situation that's at hand, is going to be something interesting. Also, when they get in the red zone, is Baker Mayfield part of the run game, which he has shown, and he showed it last week, that he can score with his feet. That's another headache you're going to be seeing tonight.
Hopefully Kirk Cousins can cause some headaches. We haven't talked a lot about, I guess, some of the youth that's on this offense, on this offense's side. Kirk Cousins talked about leading them on a short week.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to a few teammates who have not played on a short week, because I think I've done it, you know, more times than I care to admit. But I think it's a good challenge. I think that you know, you can still be ready, you know, as long as you're physically able to go. I think it's a deal that it's the same for both teams, and you got to go, you know, perform regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you talk about guys, because you didn't have a primetime game last week, so you definitely didn't have a Thursday game. So you talk about guys like Matthew Bergeron, talk about Bijan Robinson, you know, a number of other components when it comes to a Thursday game. When is the last time they played a Thursday night game, Bo? I'm trying to think in my head when
2022. Okay. A couple of years ago. In Carolina.
You're right.
So that was the game where Marcus Mariota threw the grenade.
Oh, man. Oh.
The grenade toss.
So yeah, it is a first, though, for a lot of these guys on a Thursday night on a quick turnaround week, as Kirk was talking about.
Yeah, Bijan hasn't been a part of this. Pitts played one in his rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. But you got a couple of guys on here that haven't gone through it. I mean, you know, it's quick. It's not just the game and the getting the ready on the, and I want you to talk about this, Mike. Not just getting ready mentally and the game plan and what you're going against. I think it's just as much the physicality part and the physical part of, hey, how do I, you know, normally on a Thursday, I'm just getting ramped up. This probably Thursday is your hardest day of practice.
Yeah, it's your biggest day of the week.
And instead, I'm actually playing.
Well, it was funny, the conversation, Tiff, that Bo and I had this morning. He goes, man, I don't understand. I don't know why they're wearing the red helmets twice, you know, back to back. And I was like, well, they might not even put their helmets on this week. So the adjustment that comes from, like, the when you walk into a locker room that game week and you have a red helmet, it takes you like a day and a half to really get all the adjustments right, to kind of get that helmet suit. You know, you get air taken out, air pumped in, you move the chin strap, you might move it up or down. Like, you have to kind of tinker with everything. And so with them not even really practicing on a short week, it makes sense to go right back to the red helmet. You spent all week, you know, half the week last week getting ready for the red helmet. As a player, you're like, dude, I'm not going to go back to the black helmet just because we're on a short week. So that makes sense. And by the way, I love the red helmet. It's a great look. But there is a number of just different things like that that kind of go into short weeks that a lot of people don't think about in terms of preparation.
Well, I thought it was a great point, because normally when you have these throwbacks, I think last year they wore them three times. They might be wearing them three times this year. I forgive me. I just don't recall. But to do it back-to-back in a four-day period to me seems odd. And so I can't believe they're wearing it, because I like to spread them out so I get more. I feel like it's just – so when he brought that all up, I go, dude, I never thought of that. And I guarantee you that there's a lot of people out there just like me that never thought about how much time that they probably would spend adjusting each guy's helmet when they get a new one. Now, you would think you just get the old one back, but you never know. You know, you never know what goes through all this.
And I'll tell you what, it's honestly – one of the reasons I talk about this a little bit is because I think it's even a bigger point when it comes to college football. Like, you know, I mean, you know how the alternate uniforms have become such a big thing in college football. What happens in college football when your helmet comes off? You go out for a play, right? And so adjusting that chin strap is more important than it's ever been in college football. When you change helmets, it's like, dude, you might want to get that thing hooked up, make sure it doesn't fly off your head, because that's a huge loss when you have to lose a player. Obviously different in the NFL, but there's a number of just different things that it comes to your weekly preparation. And these guys are all so set in their routines. I mean, think about a guy like Jake Matthews, who's played in, what, 100-plus straight games. He's going to have to adjust that routine, and obviously he's been there before, but it's just different, man. It's just different.
When we come back, we've got a Life of Squid.
Little bit of forecasting of what could be, some bold predictions for the NFL season. There. Also, I want to come back to the
Can't
Braves.
Wait to dunk on your bold predictions.
Well, they're not mine. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to kind of give you guys scenarios and see if you think it happens or not.
All right.
And we get back to a little bit of Braves, why we should celebrate this team more than we probably are and will. All next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And
the Odyssey app, rise up!
In the home stretch of the Morning Shift, Braves season has come to a close as they fall to the Padres in the wild card series of the MLB playoffs. So some tough news there, but as we've been discussing throughout the show, overall, you probably didn't think the team may have been in this position when you look at the way that the season started and a lot of ups and downs this year, but they made it to the postseason.
Yeah, I think there's some I don't want to say celebrate, but you should. This team should be looked at as a team that never, ever, ever quit. Even last night, they didn't. I mean, they fought and clawed back in that game and got it to 5-4. They just didn't. They just don't. There's just too much stress on the back end of the lineup for this team to get it done, and that's they just don't have enough enough bats really in the back end of it, and you know, that's the problem.
It's funny, man, because I'm watching the game last night, and I texted you at one point when they had the base loaded in the first, and I was like, it's making my stomach turn watching this because I know that this is possibly Max Fried's last start as a Brave. You feel like it's almost. The season's coming to a close, and you can feel it. And as much as I wanted the Braves to win last night, I am looking forward to a 2025 Braves season that has the excitement back, that has the passion back, that has the fun back in watching this team on a day-in, day-out basis. It's like not even just the injuries, but it's like they had to scratch and claw so much with just signing guys off the waiver wire that it didn't even feel fun at times. Like, you're just getting to know half these players, like, when they're in the lineup, and you don't even know what they're all about from day to day.
It's going to feel like you had a huge free agency.
It really is.
Because you're going to – look, I heard some comments from Morton last night or saw them, and it hinted towards this is the end for him, and you can – whatever you think or don't think about him, he's still a guy that went out there in the fifth spot of this rotation, gave you 5 to 6 innings every freaking outing, and some of those would – you know, he'd walk out of there with 6 innings and 1 run. Some of them would look more like 4 innings, 4 runs. But the fact of the matter is, you find me a fifth starter that goes 7 innings, no earned, 2 hits, and 9 strikeouts, and I'll find you the highest payroll in baseball. Or I'll tell you that's, or you'll find out that's what it is. And he might be gone. He kind of hinted at retirement. I don't think Max is coming back. I think Max is going to go get paid, and he deserves every freaking bit of it. So you're looking at a Strider off Tommy John. A Chris Sale
off of Cy Young,
off of a Cy Young, and to your point, and back spasms at the end of a season.
What a dagger.
Renato Lopez, where he threw more innings than he's thrown in like 4 years. Spencer Schwellenbach off a rookie campaign where he's never thrown that many innings, but he looked like he was the ace down the stretch of the season.
He looks like the next chapter.
To be fair with you,
yeah,
and a battle between a veteran. Or AJ Smith-Shawver, Ian Anderson, Hurston Waltrip.
Let me stop you right there with the pitchers. What does this team need to do offensively? Do you think where do you think changes be in the lineup? Because I think shortstop has to be looked at. Love what RC has done in this 2 years, but I think there's an upgrade possible there.
You need to find a guy. You had pop and a guy that could get on in Dansby and speed. And defense, elite defense. You go to Arcia, and it's elite defense. And Pop, every 14 days, he might, 15 days, 20 days, he might run into one.
Yeah.
I would give up that for not elite, but good defense and a great on-base percentage. That guy's gonna be, and I think that kind of comes with it. I think you're an on-base guy like that, the speed is part of the game. But I need a guy that can get on base consistently without taking 2 steps back on the defensive end. And that's what I need from that position. I think Arcia can stay here in a backup role. I think he's a hell of a guy off the bench. And I don't know if Nacho's ready yet. That's just I think you got to find that guy, and then you figure out what you got with Nacho after next year. Because I think he needs another year to mature in the minors.
You're saying Nacho's starting shortstop next year?
He's Nacho starting shortstop next year. Did I say that? A lot of likes on my meat. A little tongue twister. Well, Tonight, you'll get primetime squid.
Oh, great.
Tomorrow night, you get primetime KSU hoo-da-hoo football.
What time do you take the airwaves tonight?
Well, I will be there.
Where can we listen to you on primetime squid?
Well, we take over the broadcast from that pregame crew.
Is that what it is?
The great Chris Goforth and the guy that sits next to him. At 7:50 tonight, because, hey, a reminder, you want to hear Matt Ryan? You want to hear Matt Ryan on these airwaves?
Mm.
7:55 tonight.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go.
With the two guys that did every game of his career. Wes
Post
and
getting
Arch.
Inducted into the
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. So
that's right. Deal. And don't forget the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic is November 25th. There are still slots. Do not wait until the middle of November and say, hey, Squid, can I still play? Because I'm going to be like, I don't know, man. You need to go to the website. I told you when you could. And you can right now. Go to the 99 The Game website. Go to the event page. And click on the Brown Grass Charity Classic. You'll see all the details. You can go sign up. Mike, get your head out of your hands.
I don't know, man. You better sign up right now.
You guys ready for some bold, and not predictions,
more
but just
ready than you've ever guessed.
Just what could happen. Well, I don't like your attitude.
Mm.
Okay. Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback we have seen in years, maybe. Can he take Washington to the Super Bowl? They're going to the Super Bowl.
This year?
No,
or yeah. Are we talking?
Yeah.
No, thank
yeah.
you.
Super Bowl bound, Washington, Jaden Daniels.
This is bold predictions,
no,
right?
Thanks.
Well, they're more about things that could happen. Hot takes.
Yeah, bold, but it's like...
Bold hot takes, yeah.
Sure, I'll be bold. Sure, why not? Does that work for you?
Trevor Lawrence turns it around, yes or no, and they make the playoffs.
I think he has to. It doesn't get any worse.
But they make the playoffs.
They make the playoffs?
They make the playoffs.
No.
In that division?
I mean, I don't think they can make it as a wild card team, no, and they're not going to win that division, so
I don't think so either.
Justin Fields secures the starting job and the Steelers trade Russell Wilson.
You threw the trade part in, but yeah, I think he secures the starting job. I don't see why that definitely doesn't seem like a bold kind of statement. I feel like that is likely what is probably going to end up happening.
I think that's probably what's going to happen, to be honest with you. Why wouldn't you trade for Russell Wilson? Some of these other teams, I mean, you look at what Miami's going through and everything else, I think they'll get a good haul back for him.
Saying the trade, or are you saying that Justin Fields will be the...
I think both.
Yeah,
I think both.
Mike McDaniels stops dressing like an extra on the movie Blow.
Never.
And, I hope not.
And they get the first overall pick in 2025.
Never.
Ooh, no.
Oh.
No. Too many weapons on that offense for that.
He looks like he's
I love it. Everybody loves it.
You know what
it.
He looks like?
You're the only person that is.
I don't hate on it, but you know what he looks like? It looks like they're doing you know those true crime documentaries where they go through and they interview people, but then they have the dramatizations.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It looks like they're doing one on the Cocaine Cowboys. All right. And he's like
untold,
and like he opens the trunk of his car and he's got like some semi-automatics and pounds of yay sitting there. Yeah. That's what he looks like.
I don't think you're that far off, man. And he's in Miami, which is the perfect spot for it.
Yeah, hey, Sam Darnold gets re-signed to a big money deal in Minnesota.
I will. We saw JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, no,
no.
So. I don't. I would say the first part of that, yes. Second part, no.
Remember, yeah. Bird in the hand.
The big
better
money
than
deal.
Two in the bush.
Yes, in Minnesota. I don't know about
top
that.
Top draft pick.
Bird in the hand. Better than two in the bush.
I mean, you have a Jordan Love and a Aaron Rodgers situation, and maybe JJ McCarthy sits for a little bit.
Maybe you never know. That's why we do these.
Exercises. All right, we'll be right back here to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. I feel like I'm in school. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.